All right, I'm going to start in here in Daniel chapter 8. I'm going to start giving the general idea what Daniel 8 covers. Daniel sees a vision, and it's between a great he-goat and this two-headed ram. Now, this goat has one horn, and this ram has two horns. And it says that this he-goat moves without touching the ground, crossing the whole earth, coming from east to west, coming from the west, crossing the whole earth, and coming toward the two-horned ram. And I seen him standing beside the canal and charged him in a great rage, and I saw him attack the ram furiously, striking the ram and shattering its two horns. The ram was powerless to stand against him. The goat knocked him in the ground and trampled on him, and none could rescue the ram from his power. The goat became very great, but at the height of his power, his large horn was broken off, and in its place four prominent horns grew up from the four winds of heaven. Out of one of them, out of one of these four horns, came another horn, which started small but grew in power to the south and to the east and toward the beautiful land. It grew until it reached the host of the heavens and threw some of the starry host down to the earth and trampled on them. And it set itself up to be as great as the prince of the host and took away the daily sacrifice from him, and the place of the sanctuary was brought low. Because of rebellion, the host of the saints and the daily sacrifice were given over to it. It prospered in everything it did, and truth was thrown to the ground. Then I heard a holy one speaking, and another holy one said to him, "How long will it take for the vision to be fulfilled? The vision concerning the daily sacrifice, the rebellion that causes desolation, the surrender of the sanctuary, and the host that will be trampled underfoot." He said it will take 2300 evening and mornings, then the sanctuary will be reconsecrated. Now, in getting into the interpretation, we know from Daniel chapter 7, you know, there was first was Babylon, the lion, and then after that came Medo-Persia, the bear, and then after that came this four-headed leopard with the four wings on its back. This was Macedonia, Alexander the Great. And he overthrew Medo-Persia. This is all historical fact. All right? And it tells us in the interpretation that this is the kingdom of Grecia, or Macedonia. All right? Now, in this, if we have a more clear picture, in other words, a more detailed picture of what happens between the bear and the leopard. Only this time, the leopard is pictured as a goat without moving across that moves across the ground without touching it, and a notable horn. And the ram. The bear is pictured as a ram with two horns. These two horns is just like the bear stood up on two feet. It's the kings of Media and Persia. The single horn is Alexander the Great. Now, when Alexander the Great is broken off, these four kings take his place. His four kings. Remember, there were four kings under Alexander the Great: Ptolemy, Antipater, Necrometer, and Seleucid. Well, two of these nations became very great, and that was Seleucid for Syria, and the Ptolemies got Egypt. And Egypt became known as the king of the south, and Seleucids, Syria, became known as the king of the north. And so as we go on through Daniel and see these battles that continue between the king of the south and the kingdom of the north, we see that the kingdom of the north is where the northern kingdom is where Antichrist comes from. He ends up being one of these kings of the north and known as the king of the north. All right, this is detailed in Daniel chapter 8. Now listen to the interpretation. While I, Daniel, was watching the vision and trying to understand it, there before me stood one looking like a man. And I heard a man's voice from the Uli calling, "Gabriel, tell this man the meaning of the vision." And as he came near the place I was standing, I was terrified and fell prostrate. "Son of man," he said to me, "understand the vision concerns the time of the end." So, this vision concerns the time of the end. This is the time we live in. This is what we're looking at. So it definitely has to do with this Antichrist. Now listen. While he was speaking to me, I was in a deep sleep and my face to the ground. He touched me and raised me to my feet, and he said, "I'm going to tell you what will happen later in the time of wrath, because the vision concerns the appointed time of the end." Now notice he said this twice. Whenever God says something twice, it's firmly established. He said, I'm going to tell you what will happen later at the time of the end, because the vision concerns the appointed time of the end. The two-horned ram you saw represents the kings of Media and Persia. The shaggy goat is the king of Greece. And the large horn between his eyes is the first king. Now, all this was written here in Daniel 8, before Medo-Persia had been overthrown, and before Alexander the Great had even been born. The large horn between his eyes is the first king. The four horns that replaced the one that was broken off represent four kingdoms that will emerge from this nation and will not have the same power. Now, Alexander the Great was pictured as a leopard in one place, you know, his kingdom, Macedonia, because he moved faster than anybody ever had and taken over the world. Moving, and this is what it's pictured in this goat who moves without touching the ground with the notable horn. He moved without touching the ground. He moved very fast. All right, in the latter part of these kingdoms' reign, in the latter part of their reign, and that's talking about these last days, these kingdoms are still around. Egypt and Syria, aren't they? And remember, this guy is supposed to emerge out of one of these four kingdoms. Well, Antipater and Necrometer's kingdoms died out pretty quickly. So we're focusing on the two kingdoms that are around from those four kingdoms, and they're still here, Egypt and Syria. In the latter part of their reign, when rebels have become completely wicked, a stern-faced king, a master of intrigue, will arise. And he'll become very strong, but not by his own power. And he'll cause astounding devastation and will succeed in whatever he does. He will destroy the mighty men and the holy people. He will cause deceit to prosper and will consider himself superior. When they feel secure, he will destroy many and take his stand against the prince of princes. Yet he'll be destroyed, but not by any human power. Now we can see certain things in here. Notice it couples the revealing of this stern-faced king, this master of intrigue, when rebels have become completely wicked. This is talking about those being given over to what they've chosen, huh? When rebels become completely wicked, when they're given over the whole way to what they've chosen. I want you to keep that in mind. And it says he'll succeed, he'll consider himself superior. Antichrist is going to set himself up in the temple, proclaiming himself to be God. He'll cause deceit to prosper, will consider himself superior. When they feel secure, he'll destroy many and take his stand against the prince of princes. He's going to stand against Jesus. Yet he'll be destroyed, not by any human power. It tells us that Jesus will destroy him with the power of his coming, and with the breath of his mouth and the power and the splendor of his coming. All right, now we're ready to go to 2 Thessalonians 2. And you can see exactly where Paul gets the imagery for the abomination of desolation and the great falling away. All right. 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians 2. Now, remember, Daniel said this concerns the time of the end. And so, again, here we have concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus, verse 1, and our being gathered to him. Now, first of all, I want you to know how it couples those events. Jesus is coming and our being gathered to him. And this is showing, you know, what people call the rapture. We will be gathered when Jesus comes at his second coming. We ask you, brothers, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus and our being gathered to him. We ask you, brothers, not to become easily unsettled or alarmed by some prophecy, report, or letter supposed to have come from us saying that the day of the Lord has already come. Now notice these are two components of the day of the Lord then, aren't they? Jesus is coming and our gathering to him. For that day will not come. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way. For that day will not come until the rebellion occurs. That's when rebels become completely wicked. And the man of lawlessness is revealed. This stern-faced king. Right? This master of deceit. It says for the day of the Lord will not come till the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed. The man doomed to destruction. He will oppose and will exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshipped, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. Now it tells us some very important things right here in this verse. First of all, Antichrist cannot come I mean, first of all, we cannot be gathered in the resurrection, and Jesus cannot come until Antichrist has been revealed. It tells you that very clearly here. And it tells you, and it couples the great rebellion with the revealing of Antichrist. How many of you can see that? And he goes on to say, he will oppose and will exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshipped, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. This shows that it is the abomination of desolation. He says, don't you remember when I was with you, verse 5, that when I was with you, I used to tell you these things. And now you know what is holding him back, the Antichrist, so that he may be revealed at the proper time. For the secret power of lawlessness is already at work. The power of lawlessness refers to Antichrist, right? But the one who now holds it back will continue to do so till he is taken out of the way. And that's the Holy Spirit. Now notice it doesn't say the Holy Spirit's taken off the earth. The Holy Spirit has several jobs here. One is to indwell the believer. Two, to convict the world of sin. Right? And one is to hold back Antichrist from his time, till his time. He's removed as an obstacle in this one job only. That's all it says. He's taken out of the way. Not taken off the earth. Not taken out of the believer. Taken out of the way. The coming of the lawless one. Wait. For the secret of power of lawlessness is already at work. But the one who now holds it back will continue to do so till he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will overthrow with the breath of his mouth and destroy by the splendor of his coming. The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with the work of Satan, displayed in all kinds of counterfeit miracles, signs, and wonders. We've seen that from Revelation 13. All the calling fire down from heaven and everything else that second beast does in the presence of the first. They perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. See? It's because they didn't love the truth. And for this reason, God sends them a strong delusion so they will believe the lie, so that all will be condemned who have not believed the truth, but have delighted in wickedness. And this has to do with that great rebellion. When rebels become completely wicked, when they go into that great delusion. So the time of the rebellion, the great falling away, as it says, don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come till the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed. And that rebellion is when people are given over to what they've chosen because they didn't love the truth, when rebels become completely wicked. They're given over to that delusion they've chosen to believe the lie because they didn't love the truth. The lie is that Jesus is the Savior. The lie that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is. You know, they didn't believe the truth. They loved the lie. And the lie is Antichrist. And he's the Messiah. But how many of you can see the connection between these two things?